name is Veronica Martinez. I am a Senior Research Fellow at the Cambridge Service Alliance.
Veronica, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Service Alliance podcast series today. We're going to look at some of the papers that you've collaborated on at the Cambridge Service Alliance. Let's look first at facilitating co-creation in living labs. So how did you go about your study and why is it relevant for organizations today?
The study was done with the support of EPSRC and NIMOD. We started to explore what a living lab was. We wanted to know more about innovation. But in innovation, we identified that open innovation is a very interesting concept, relatively new. The thing that most attracted us is that the real life experience from the communities and settings for co-creating and innovating the product and service with the producer. And this is very different from the traditional way of innovating products and services, because the experience of the user in this process is in very much real life, and this just enhances the co-creation process to put either the product or service faster in the market, or on the other hand, to have a better adaptation time of the product or service.
So people are changing, companies are changing how they innovate, and they're moving outside the factory, is that right?
They are moving very much away from the usual settings. Generally, the typical kind of innovation will happen innovation team, and then they will start developing the concepts, and then they will invite a set of users, focus groups, to get some different set of focus groups in order to enhance the innovation. But this has proved to be interesting and good so far. However, it is limited because the focus groups are a selected group of people, whereas in living labs is real life users that come into the living lab to experience, to touch and play and give comments. And this is interesting because this has proved to be very, very useful and has enhanced the product or the service faster, speed up that innovation part and strengthen the product or service in a more rapid manner.
What made people go out and create the concept of living labs? How new is it? Is it down to laptops and mobile phones and innovation taking place in places where it never took place before?
Living labs are moving and pushing the boundaries, and there are different types of living labs. Some living labs are very much preselected to users, and some other ones are totally open to any type of community. The one that we study in Joseph's, it was the living lab that we studied, and this is Joseph's living lab. It was completely community open. There was no pre-selection of users. And this was very interesting because you will see babies and moms coming, as well as executives, students. You will see either grandfathers and grandmothers coming and giving comments. And this is very interesting because it will open the innovation of a product in a way that sometimes it is unexpected.
How involved are users in this process? It seems to me that, as you said, it goes beyond the focus group and gets to users that perhaps companies couldn't reach before.
This is relatively new because before there was not done, but it has proved to be a very important and key concept for them because, for example, what we observe in the case of Joseph's, and this is a physical living lab, there are also some other living labs which are online living labs, but the focus of our study is the physical living labs. And in the living labs, it is created for people to enjoy, to go, touch, play, flick, jump, hear. And these are the elements that enhance the co-creation, is to engage the user in the use of the service or the product that it is tested at the same time. So setting a living lab is not very easy at all because you will have some norms and some rules in order to set each one of the islands because in a living lab you will have a team of different products or services to be tested at the same time, so the user will have a more open opportunity to go and walk by themselves and go and touch and play with something that another user might not find it very interesting. And it's this breadth of difference and availability to the customer or to the end user, not customer, to the end user to go and play. And this is free for the end user. They will go and play, give comments. Sometimes they will take the children and little children to play with, to touch and draw or to touch and play with things. And the comments that people leave, adjustment with the playing of product or service is what it is enhancing the innovation. And basically, all these things are very much facilitated by the Joseph facilitators. In a living lab, you will have a person who will be, in a kind of way, will welcome you to the open lab, to the living lab, and give you a tour. But it is not a guided tour. It's very much the user will have the availability to go and play. And part of the facilitator's job is to identify what is the things that the user is enjoying, what are the things that the user is struggling about, what are the things that he might think or she might think that could be done better, encouraging them to leave notes or comments. Part of the living lab, it is also enhanced by the technology, and technology can use in certain parts eye recognition to see if the user is happy, if the user is interested, if the user is not interested, if the user is spending more time in one island or a product or service over another one. All these factors are playing an important role to understand better the co-creation. And these are things that previous or traditional innovation in factories and service companies didn't have access to.
So what are your key recommendations and conclusions going forward?
What we learn from this study is that we enhance a set of factors to improve co-creation between the end users and, in this case, a company or a service provider. My recommendations or recommendation as a team were very much to understand these factors and to weight these factors on what are the most important in order to enhance those factors and encourage these factors to make them easier to replicate, easier to co-innovate, to enhance this co-innovation between the user and the innovator. Unfortunately, the literature, even though that we have been talking about innovation for decades, open innovation in living labs is relatively new. And we need to understand these factors are still in a stage that we are discovering and exploring them. So more research has to be done into this in order for people, innovators, as well as people who set up living labs to better understand these factors and improve this co-creation between the end user and the innovator.
Veronica, thank you for that.
My name is Katharina Grieve, and I've collaborated with Dr. Veronica Martinez, Dr. Julia Jonas, and Professor Andy Neely, and Professor Katrin Muslein on the paper Facilitating Co-Creation in Living Labs, the Joseph Study.
Why do you use the term living labs? What do you mean by this? And why are they important? There's not general recognition of the term living labs, is there?
So living labs are open innovation platforms that enable systematic customer co-creation whilst integrating research and innovation process in real-life settings. So one example is Joseph. Joseph is a living lab that is located in the town center of Nuremberg in Germany. When you enter this place, it initially looks like an ordinary cafe where you can enjoy your cappuccino or a slice of cake. However, if you go a few steps further, you enter the open innovation space of Joseph, and that's where five companies display their product and service innovations. In this space, customers are encouraged to try out these prototypes and then give feedback. And why are living labs like Joseph's important? So there are three main reasons for it.
Yes, do tell us. It sounds as if it's very much a public space as well.
Living labs are important. First, if they're open to the public, they attract a lot of people with various backgrounds that are interested in participating in the co-creation of products and services. And living labs are able to bridge gaps between the ideation and development of these products and services on one hand, and also market entry and fulfillment on the other hand. And second, living labs provide companies with authentic and just-in-time feedback, which helps them to then reduce the time to market and cost of introducing new products and services. And also really important is that living labs, like Joseph's, they integrate research with practice and offer companies the guidance they need to successfully co-create with their customers. So in a nutshell, living labs are important because they help companies to understand and meet customer needs.
Did Joseph allow you to collect your new data there? How much do we know about living labs?
Currently, there's very little research about living labs. In particular, information on the practical implications of co-creation is very limited. So existing studies do not really discuss how co-creation can be facilitated in living labs. And this is where we make our contribution. And we were able to collect a lot of new data through several workshops, interviews, observations with staff that is involved in operational, strategic, and research activities at the living lab. So we also carried out a half-day workshop with companies that have utilized the space, and questionnaires and additional documents really helped us to receive further insight.
It's a very fascinating study because normally you think of researchers going into very stuffy backgrounds and offices. Here you are out where change and innovation is happening, and it's happening in public spaces between people, no longer in closed workplaces. Is that right?
Absolutely. So it is really related to the open innovation approach. You go outside the boundaries of your own company and you touch into the knowledge that customers have and, you know, explore their unmet wants and needs. And you try to understand what they really want and how you can best meet these needs and wants of your customers.
And what kind of companies participated in your workshop?
We had different companies participating in our workshop. So they ranged from companies that customize shoes online to a large organization that builds smart home applications for business to business. The company that customized shoes, for example, learned at Joseph's that shoes with laces have to be priced higher than shoes without laces. So although the cost involved for producing these shoes with laces are not much higher, which is why they didn't consider them in their pricing strategy, the customer expects something additional to cost more. So getting this feedback at Joseph's was very useful for the company that otherwise would not have been able to access these offline customers and their first impressions. So overall, the variety of companies and their experiences at Joseph's helped us trigger interesting and insightful conversations among the workshop participants.
Now, if you go into a normal public space, an internet cafe, you see people working, but they're quite solid. They've got headsets on, they're working at their own computers. Did you find that there was more interaction at Joseph's between these companies? Were you able to kind of look at the social participation too?
Absolutely. Interaction and engagement is really one of the core principles of the Living Lab. So they do everything to design the whole Living Lab very interactive. They want to engage the customer. They try to integrate playful elements to make them really touch and try out these prototypes and then leave feedback. So the fun aspect of it is really important. And not only the customer interacts with the company, but also the companies among themselves interact with each other. So if the theme is smart living and you have five different companies that interact with smart living, then they have probably something in common and start a conversation among themselves as well. So this way there is a different dynamic in co-creation happening. One is towards the customer and one is firm to firm as well.
It sounds fun. You identified five critical factors to facilitate co-creation. What are they?
The five critical factors that we identified is first, customer engagement, because engaged customers play a central role in the development of new services and products. And customer engagement essentially refers to aspects like customer capabilities, their skills, and motivation. The second one is relationship management, and that refers to the process of managing the relationships between the firm at Joseph and other stakeholders. So this is a critical factor and includes elements like dialogue, interaction, and managing expectations. The third critical factor is operating principles. So this is the concept and values that outline how the Living Lab operates, and it includes elements such as comfortable atmosphere, and the relevance for B2C as well as B2B. And the design is also one of the factors that we identified. So to facilitate the co-creation process in a broader context, it is critical to consider the Living Lab's design layout. The case of Joseph shows the intuitive, playful elements that incorporate the familiar behavior are really helpful in order to maximize the opportunity to then receive feedback. And finally, also the data collection approach emerges as a critical co-creation factor. So a Living Lab should be prepared to capture the customer's first impression and authentic feedback. So altogether, we grouped these five categories and we identified 41 elements that are critical to the facilitation of co-creation in Living Labs.
And I suppose if you replicated those 41 critical factors, would you be able to create another Joseph's Living Lab? Is that the idea?
Ideally, we would like to validate these findings, but also see the findings as a guideline for future Living Labs and how they can be organized and how the setup can look like.
What were your key findings?
The key findings were the five critical factors for co-creation facilitation in Living Labs, and it provides a framework that actually shows how you can do this. And interestingly, we looked at the literature, and the literature does not really focus on aspects relating to the operating principle or data collection approach in a Living Lab. And the operating principle of the Living Lab plays a major role for companies because it really outlines the concept and values of the Living Lab and how companies can engage with them. So the data collection approach is also critical to companies because it's very unique. Joseph's, however, they're mainly concerned with operational goals and the relationship to the customer. And this is also similar in the data collection approach and design layout of the Living Lab. These are not really extensively discussed, but a lot of attention is paid to behavioral aspects, motivation, incentives of the customer. This is acknowledged but not really seen as critical by Living Lab facilitator or companies. However, in contrast to the theory, companies, they would like to obtain further benefits from Living Lab experiences like sharing best practices or past cases, and companies really consider the relationship between them and Joseph as important, although the customer is the one involved in the co-creation process with a company. So that was very interesting, but we could also see that there's not much agreement between theory and practice with regards to how co-creation can be facilitated in Living Labs, which is why we really need further research on this.
Will this help other companies go forward?
The study creates first insights into the operational activities and design structures that are implemented to facilitate co-creation in Living Labs. So in particular, Living Labs and companies gain a deeper understanding on the factors that are relevant to consider when engaging in co-creation. This way, we really hope to develop a more systematic approach to co-creation in Living Labs.
And will you be doing more research? You said you would like to, but Living Labs, is that going to be a topic of research in the future for you again?
Absolutely. So we studied existing research with regards to co-creation in Living Labs and also looked at the firm side and Living Lab side to understand co-creation in Living Labs. But to get a more complete picture, we want to understand the customer side as well. So in terms of future research, we really see that we would like to develop this further and get a complete picture by taking the customer side into account as well.
Do you think there's still need for more study in a wider context? Because it's still a very new field of research and study. Can your findings be transferred to other sectors and fields of work. How much of this Living Labs phenomena is spontaneous?
So considering the variety of companies that engage in co-creation at Joseph's, we were able to take into account a range of organizations. So small and large, B2C, B2B, product and service focused firms that operate in a variety of industry and areas. So therefore, we believe that our research is applicable to various organizations that engage already or plan to co-create value with their customers in Living Labs. Co-creating value with customers in a Living Lab context is definitely something that is going to be more popular in the future and something that we want to understand better to be more effective and more efficient with the resources companies are using.
And just finally, exciting. Is that the word that comes to mind when you think of your study facilitating co-creation in Living Labs, the Joseph's study? It's very much of our time and now, isn't it? Was it exciting for you to research this?
I think the very exciting part about studying co-creation at Living Labs is the novelty. There is not much existing research, so there is a variety of areas we can go into. And also the practice. Industry partners and companies, they're extremely keen to learn more. So there is the pull factor from industry that excites us to contribute and make something useful for managers and executives that would like to understand their customers better and try to develop products and services that develop these aspects in more detail to really meet customers' needs and wants.
Is it a field of research that is going to become very fashionable in the future?
I do think it's going to be a very popular topic or popular area to look into. Since the beginning of the 2000s, when Henry Chesbrough started to look into open innovation into more detail, I think this has become a really great domain for companies and researchers to understand better how companies can engage with customers and how you can develop offerings together with your customers.
Katrina Grieve, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Service Alliance podcast series today. We were looking at your paper, Facilitating Co-Creation in Living Labs, the Joseph's Study, which you co-authored with Veronica Martinez, Julia Jonas, Andy Neely and Katrine Muslan. I've enjoyed it so much, and congratulations to you.
Thank you.